8 p.m., BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. WABC, New York, 880 on your dial.
This is Army Day, and this is Vox Pops at West Point. From the United States Military Academy at West Point, Bromo Seltzer brings you Vox Pop, the voice of the people, conducted by Parks Johnson and his guest partner, Gary Breckner. The entire first class of cadets and all enlisted men stationed at the point are gathered in Main Hall for this special broadcast. And now the cadet first captain, Carl Hinkle, calls the corps to attention. And here's the short corps yell. Okay, Park, come in.
Okay, John, thank you. And tonight we're chatting only with first classmen here at West Point, men who will graduate May 29th. First is a man who chose the engineers as his base branch, Mr. Thomas Lauer of Toledo, Ohio. Classmates know you, and they seem to like you, Mr. Lauer. Now, two or three bits of personal information about you. You don't mind, I'm sure. What is this extra insignia on your collar over and above what I've seen on most men? Will you describe it?
Yes, sir. The small gold stars in front are for being a so-called distinguished cadet.
We'll dig into that in a minute.
The gold scrambled legs in the back of the collar are for being a cadet instructor.
Oh, is that what you call them, scrambled legs?
Well, it's the academy insignia. That's a...
Well, now, this outstanding business, how many men in your class?
375, sir.
And where do you rank scholastically in that group?
Number four, sir.
Number four? No wonder you're wearing that gold star on there. Now, how often, Mr. Lauer, would you say in a week's time that you are called on to recite in class?
Every man recites every day and every subject.
That much?
Can't miss a one.
Well, say... How often do you know how you stand? About every semester, every 3 months?
No, sir, every week.
You mean you know where you rate everything?
Yes, sir, everything is published every 7 days.
In other words, what you are is evident here at West Point,
yes,
is that
sir.
It?
No secrets.
No secrets about it all. Now, after you graduate, now that's May the 29th, you have your usual 3 months furlough, I take it.
Oh, no, sir.
No?
No. We're getting about 3 weeks, that is, except the Air Corps men who get 3 days.
3 weeks?
Yes.
And 3 days?
That's right.
You're going to the Air Corps?
No, sir, I'm not.
You're going to the engineers?
Engineers.
Oh, I see. Well, you have 3 weeks. How about it? Are you going to get married?
No, sir, I'm still free.
I understand. You're not mortgaged or anything?
No, sir, not at all.
I understand that at least half of your class, the graduating class, will marry pretty soon, within that 3 days or 3 weeks. Is that right?
Yes, sir, that's what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Now, your basic branch is the engineers. Of course, that's the best branch in the Army, isn't it?
Well, I don't think you can quite say that, sir.
No?
There's no such thing as the best branch, really. They've all got to work together. I think that's been proven in the present war more than anything else. There's a great need for coordination, especially with the Air Corps.
Well, naturally, you people at West Point would know that first of all, because you do study those things, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And you're shortening your course to 3 years, are you?
No, sir.
No? Looks like I don't know anything about West Point, doesn't it?
We're getting 5 years' work in 4 years now.
So that's the way it's done, huh? All right, now, I've got a special little stunt here for you, a little surprise. I know that this hour that you're taking to come here for this program, you've got to make up somewhere. So we're going to help you out. We have gotten one of your instructors to give a tactical question for you to answer, and when you do, he will grade you on it, and then perhaps you won't have to worry about it tomorrow. So, I'm going to ask Major Coolidge to stand here and listen to the question and your reply and then give you a grade on it. Here you are. You are platoon leader of a parachute platoon now flying over hostile territory. Your mission is to gain control of the enemy radio station, which has been definitely located. It is now dark. Your platoon executes a mass jump near a patch of woods about 1 mile from the station. Here's the question. On landing, what are your actions?
Well, the first thing, of course, is to get the men together and see if they all have their equipment, keep them under cover, and then I would tell my second-in-command to inspect them briefly to see if they had their equipment,
yes.
Set out outposts, and I would then set out on a personal reconnaissance in the direction of the radio station to be sure that there were no enemy in that vicinity.
Colonel Coolidge, will you come up here and grade the Mr. Lauer's answer?
I'd give Mr. Lauer full credit on that, a 3-0.
A 3-0. Thank you very much. Well done, Mr. Lauer. You came through magnificently on that. Now, Bromo Seltzer has a special present here for you tonight, but I want to say before I give it to you that a duplicate of the present that is given you will be sent to some member of last year's class at West Point, somebody of yours, and you will tell us who you want that duplicate to be sent to. Your present is a waterproof 17 jewel wristwatch made especially for you Army men. Good. Now, to whom shall we send the duplicate of that watch?
I'd like to have it sent to Bob Kramer of last year's class, who is now in the Philippine Islands.
Pretty busy, is he?
I imagine he is.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lauer. And now, before the next West Pointer steps up to our Vox Pop microphone, let's hear an important message from Ernest Chappell.
Friends, it used to be that when you didn't feel quite up to snuff, you could stay home and take it easy. Well, these days, time is far too precious. America can't afford to lose a day, even an hour. So don't let a headache rob you of your efficiency. When your head begins to ache and your stomach feels upset and your nerves start to jump, take a Bromo Seltzer and see how quickly you feel more like your old self again. Bromo Seltzer, remember, has a three-way action that distinguishes it from many other headache preparations on the market. Yes, with Bromo Seltzer, you not only get fast relief from the pain itself, Bromo Seltzer also helps settle upset stomach, helps calm jumpy nerves. Of course, if you have persistent or recurring headaches, you should see your doctor. But for those common sick headaches most of us get now and then, take a Bromo Seltzer. And see what a difference it makes when you fight headache not one, but three ways.
Okay, Ernest Chappell, and now, folks, I want you to meet my guest partner for tonight. He's a 6-foot-3-inch California giant, a man who was with the 148th Field Artillery in World War No. 1, and he's all tanned and full of smiles, Gary Breckner. Come in, Gary. We're glad to have you.
Well, here we are with another great big six-footer. Where are you from, sir?
Washington, D.C.
You're not nervous, are you?
Just a little.
Well, come on over here and let's shake together. So am I. I understand that you're with the infantry and that your home is in Washington, D.C. and that you're a first-class man. And by the name... He is a first-class man, too. By the name, would you announce your name, please?
Lucius D. Clay, Jr.
You had me stumped there on the spelling of that first name. I won't say how I might have spelled it, or pronounced it, I mean. Lucius, we'll let it go at that, sir. And I understand that you've had some family in the Army prior to your entrance here at West Point. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I had an uncle, and my father went here also.
Is that so? What class was your father?
Class 1918, sir. Graduated in 1918, class 19.
Is he still in the active service?
Yes, sir.
What branch of the service?
Corps of Engineers, sir.
My boy, huh?
No, sir, I'm afraid not.
You're afraid he wasn't?
I'm afraid I'm not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why, but he was an engineer. That means that he was up near the top of his class and chose the engineering. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I thought that's the way they ran it here. Have you any other of the family here at West Point or in the past or future?
Yes, sir. I have a brother here in the first class now.
He is here with you?
Yes, sir.
Are you twins?
No, sir. I had a little bit of a setback my first year.
Well, we won't go into that. But I know that a lot of these boys out here in front know you as the cheerleader over here at West Point. And I just want to ask you if you ever have any difficulty getting any cooperation from them when it comes to a football game.
No, sir. It's a little different here. The cheerleading is... Well, everybody seems to cooperate with the cheerleader more or less because they feel like they're in back of the team. They're out there playing, and it's one way they can... help get behind the team and push them on.
In other words, there's cooperation between the corps that's up there in the grandstand and you and the gang that's out there in the field playing football for you.
Yes, sir, there certainly is.
That's a marvelous spirit, and I know that it exists here at West Point, and I think everybody in the United States, in fact, in the world, realizes that, too. But speaking of cooperation and things of that sort that go on at West Point, what is your definition of firepower?
Well, I'd say firepower... Well, we'll take a company as a unit. I'd say it's firepower for a company
is the total amount of lead that a company can put out at a given instant. That's by all their weapons, such as light machine guns, mortars, automatic rifles, and their own Garand rifles.
And that, of course, directed toward the enemy.
Yes, sir.
We wanted to be sure to get that in. Now, we have a Browning machine gun right here that the boys are bringing out here, some of the enlisted personnel here at West Point, and I understand that it takes them normally about 45 seconds to put that thing together and get it under fire. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, you give the command to put that thing into active commission, and let's see how soon the boys can get it into action, and I'm going to time it and see whether they can break the record. Will you do that?
Ready.
All right, go ahead.
Action!
The boys are unloosening the tripod. One boy came into the tripod, the other boy with the barrel, and with the loading breech, and they've got a belt of ammunition, which they're pointing toward the enemy, I hope, out the back door of the stage where we are set.
800, front, enemy skirmish line. Traverse, medium, commence, fire!
I want to tell you, Mr. Clay, that you really broke a record there because your boys and your commands got that machine gun in action in 36 seconds. I think that's pretty good going. You bet you're lying. And we're mighty proud of you and mighty proud of the record that you've achieved here at West Point. And we have just a little present here for you. And as Park said a moment ago, we're giving a duplicate present of the one that we're giving to you to any friend that you have in the active service that was from West Point. Now, have you any idea to whom you'd like that present to be sent?
Yes, sir. Captain Pete Van Dievender. He's a class of 39.
And where is
and
he
now? And he's stationed in Java right now.
Holy cow. Down in Java? Has he been in action?
Yes, sir. I saw in the paper the other day where he sunk a destroyer or a transport ship in the Battle of Macassar Strait.
Yay for West Point! Bromo Seltzer is mighty proud of that friend of yours, just as proud as we are of you. And for him and for you, we are going to present you with an Underwood Universal Portable Typewriter. And boy, it is a beauty. Here it is right here. Come on in, Park.
Okay, thank you very much, Gary.
Folks, the first captain of the Cadet Corps, Mr. Carl Hinkle. I don't know whether I can risk calling you Carl or not. Do you remember the last session we had before a Vox Pop microphone here at West Point last August?
No, I don't remember. I don't think it did much good, though, sir.
Oh, you don't, huh? You remember it, huh? What was going on? Tell the folks.
I tried to correct your posture in some respect, but...
Uh-huh. Well, now, wait a minute. I've been practicing on that. Let me show you. Now, you wanted me to stand like a plebe, that right?
That's right.
How's that?
I got to get the sway out of your back a little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
Carry your hands back a little more.
A little more?
I can hold your chin back.
I can't. All right, wait.
Carry back a little more. Now,
yeah?
Carry your shoulders back.
Oh, wait a minute. Carl, I guess I better stick to my microphone, don't you?
Well, I think about 6 good weeks and beef bread could pick you up.
I bet it would at that, but I'm going to stay with my microphone if you don't mind. Well, now, for more serious business, we asked you to be with us again for a very special reason. In your capacity as first captain of the Corps, we want you to accept a gift from us to one of your own classmates, a swell athlete, a fine gentleman. As you know, he's now in Hot Springs, Arkansas, at the Army-Navy Hospital there, the General Hospital, fighting infantile paralysis.
Now, Bromo Seltzer thought that he would like to have, by his bed, a fine, big, powerful, long, and short-wave radio. And we want you to accept it for your classmate, Dutch Heffner.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. And I hope Dutch is listening in. We all have a great love for Dutch, and we hope someday he'll be back with us. Best of luck, Dutch.
Sending it down right away.
Fine.
Thank you very much. Now, folks, here's a man who's headed straight for the Air Corps. He's from Bennettsville, South Carolina, and his name is Robert Brew. How are you, Mr. Brew?
Very good, sir. How are you?
Right in front of my son. Have you got a nickname?
Oh, yes, sir. You might call it the Colonel, I suppose.
Colonel, huh? Yes. You're getting promoted rather rapidly.
Well,
why'd you go to school before you went to West Point? Maybe that'll explain it.
Served, though, sir.
Citadel in South Carolina?
It's a military college in South Carolina.
Oh, we know where it is. Vox Pop is going to be down there after a little bit with a little broadcast. And we'll tell the boys hello for you.
Fine, sir.
Mr. Brewer, are you planning to marry in this three-day or holiday that you're
You have me at a slight disadvantage, but I guess I can answer. Not right away, sir.
Not right away,
yes,
huh? What's gone wrong?
Well,
We better stay off of that.
I'm better, sir.
All right. Well, I know you like the Air Corps because you chose it. How many of your classmates wanted to get into the Air Corps?
Well, I believe there were 189, sir, out of 375.
That's over 50% of them.
Yes, sir.
Why did you choose aviation?
Well, sir, it's a long story. I've been very interested in it since I first went to college, and it just somewhat appeals to me more than the other branches.
And you've been looking forward to it?
Yeah, I should say I have.
Well, isn't it swell that West Point has it now where you can go right into it?
Yes,
Roman,
sir.
Is it true that each West Point cadet in the future will have air training?
Yes, sir.
From your class on?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, I know that you'll earn your wings outside of West Point. Is that true with classes that succeed you?
Oh, no, sir. The class that follows us immediately will graduate with their wings.
From West Point?
Yes, sir.
At Stuart Field?
Right here at Stuart Field.
Well, say, that's fine. Now, this new air training is rather a big thing, of course, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. I guess you could say it's about the biggest change that's happened here in, 50 to 100 years.
Well, I agree
with
you.
At least I can't remember that far back. Well, one thing more. After 4 years here, how long does it take you from the time you hit the floor in the morning to get down to that first formation?
Well, it takes me about 2 minutes, sir, but my roommate can do it in about half a minute.
You don't mean that, huh?
Yes, sir.
It takes me 2 minutes to get on one shoe. You fellas are too fast for me. Well, we're awfully glad to have had you here. Congratulations on getting into the Air Corps and to West Point for its new streamlined policy. Bromo Seltzer has for you a smart officer's trench coat with a removable lining and a duplicate to go to somebody of yours. Who will that be?
Lieutenant Gibson Knobs, graduated from E Company, the class of 41. He's now in Hawaii, I believe.
Yes, sir, and we'll send that right to him. And thank you very much. Thank you, Major. Okay, Gary Howard.
Thank you very much, Clark. You know, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Military Academy, no one officer remains on duty more than a few years. But there's one man who has been here for the last 47 years. Every cadet who has been here since 1895 knows and loves him. He's the custodian of the gymnasium, and we just want him to say hello. Here he is, Sergeant Marty Marr.
Hello, all my boys. This is old Marty, speaking of Doug MacArthur, Skinny Wainwright, Jakey Devers, and Jimmy Crawford. May God love you all.
Thank you very much, Marty. And on this memorable Army Day, what could be more appropriate than to hear from good old Marty Marr? All right, Park.
We turn now to the Cadet Glee Club, which sings a number most appropriate with graduation just 52 days away. Army Blue.
We're not much longer here to stay, for in a month or two we'll bid farewell to day and gray and on the Army Blue. Army Blue, Army Blue, hurrah for the Army Blue. We'll bid farewell.
And now we take just a moment to hear from one of the men behind the men behind the gun. He's Frank Noriega, Jr. of Bogota, New Jersey. And he writes, "My job is running a precision drill press in a large plant turning out airplane parts."
And that's a mighty important job.
12 hours a day, every day of the week, I bore castings, which, while big presses and machinery bang and grind all around me. Working under pressure like that makes me jumpy and gives me some pretty annoying headaches.
Well, I can imagine that.
Last Tuesday, I got to the shop and found enough work for two men piled up at my press. I had a sick headache, and I didn't feel much like working. It got so bad, I was about ready to give up, so I went down to the plant's medical department to see what they could do for me. The nurse gave me a dose of Bromo Seltzer. It sure did the trick. In a short time, I was back at my press and finished a good day's work. Incidentally, I got a swell bonus, thanks to Bromo Seltzer.
Well, good for you, Frank Noriaka. And friends, next time that you get a headache, take a tip from that experience and try Bromo Seltzer. Gary and I are sure that you'll be delighted with the results. Okay, Gary.
Thanks, Parks. And here is our next young cadet, Carrie Brown from Rochester, New York. And what field did you choose in particular during your last year here?
Well, sir, I finally decided on the field artillery.
Hot dog, that was my branch over on the other side during the last big war.
It was?
Yeah, man.
Well, maybe this is my chance to bone a few files on the rest of the fellas.
Whatever that means, go ahead, shoot. What do you
got? What was your problem in the last war? I can see you sitting up there going along about 2 miles an hour. You know, we're all streamlined now.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm supposed to ask you the question. Do you mind? We'll get into a huddle right after this, but meanwhile, I understand that you are what is known as an Army brat. Is that right?
Well, yes and no.
Tell us what it... Huh? What do you mean, yes and no?
Well, you see, my dad graduated from West Point, and I was in the Army for a while, and now he's not in the Army, so I can claim either side.
Oh, I see. That's why the yes and no answer.
Yes.
Have you got any other relatives over here?
Well, I have a little kid brother I'm keeping my eye on for 2 more months.
Is that so? And what class is he in?
He's a yearling.
Say, wait a minute. This is my first time here at West Point. I've heard about plebes, and I've heard about yearlings, and I've heard about first classmen. But what's that thing in between? What do they call those boys?
Well, we hate to leave them out. They're the cows.
How they haven't come to call them the cows?
Well, as I learned it 2-3 years ago, it was that every summer, you always ask the fourth classman how many days till graduation or big trips or something like that. And as the second classmen are away on leave, on furlough, we got to ask how many days till the second classmen come home.
Uh-huh.
So to make things sound a little more merry, we say, how many days till the cows come home?
Oh, I see. That's why they're cows. By the way, are you going to stay in field artillery?
Well, no, sir. I tend to take a crack at the Air Corps.
Ah, dog. Everybody's wanting to get into the Air Corps now. By the way, that means that you're only going to get that 3-day leave when you finish, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid so. You're
going to get married in that time?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think so? There seems to be some shadow of a doubt in there in your mind.
Well,
what does your dad say about it?
Well, I'll tell you about that. He sort of got me on the spot. Just a long weekend when I was home a couple days ago, we were down in the library, and I figured this man-to-man stuff might get me somewhere, so I said, Dad, just ask him a question, you know, not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, how do you know when you're in love? And so he... So he clamped his hands behind him, and he says, well, son, when you begin to worry like you are, I guess you are.
And still he doubts whether he's going to get married within 3 days or not. Well, I tell you, Carrie Brown, Bromo Seltzer's got a very swell present for you, one that I think that you're going to like very much. It's a high-powered pair of field glasses in a beautiful leather case. And we've also got one to send to some friend of yours who used to be here at the Point. Have you anybody in mind that you'd like to send it to?
Yes, sir. I'd like to send it to Bill Breyer, and men on the track team will remember him as the Arrow.
Uh-huh. And where is he now?
He's,
Not where is he, but in what branch?
He's in the Air Corps in bombardment training down in Mississippi. Uh-huh. I think he's getting ready to go over and take a crack at the little yellow fellows.
That's a boy. Congratulations to you. Wait a minute. You seem to express some kind of doubt about as to whether you're going to get married tonight. So we put in a phone call, and we've got somebody at the end of this phone that is probably going to be able to give you some first-class advice. Here he is, right here. Take that phone, will you, and let's listen to what he has to say and you have to say.
Cadet Brown speaking, sir.
Hello, Dad. How are you, boy?
Say, listen, I'm sorry about that engineers, but the law department got the best of me.
Ah, how are you, pal? How you been, huh?
Say, look, Cadet, you probably want to talk for a long time with your dad, so I'm going to send you right over there to the other side of the stage and let you finish that conversation, okay?
All right,
yeah.
Well,
go ahead, boy.
Well, that's
thank you. Come on in, Park.
Yeah, and I bet he finds out a lot of things, too, while he is. Here's a man from good old Kentucky and one who chose the Signal Corps as his basic branch. Folks, Mr. Howard W. Rice of Vicksburg, Kentucky. I'm going to try it once again. So you think the Signal Corps is the best branch of the Army, do you?
Well, to me it is, but as the Army wants to say in a larger sense, why, it's all the branches that makes up this Army. It's the combination, the coordination, and teamwork.
That's right, sir. And but you don't mind telling me whether or not the 3rd Battalion is the best battalion here, do you?
I don't think there's any question about that.
No question about that. Seriously, for just a moment, why'd you choose the Signal Corps?
Well, after I graduate here, it'd be impossible for me to go into the Armored Force. Whereas if I get attached to the Armored Force through the Signal Corps, well, I'll be able to make it.
You like the Armored Force?
I certainly do.
It's a great bunch. We were out there not long ago, and it really is a great bunch. Are you going to be a May bridegroom, Mr. Rice?
No, I'm afraid I'm in the minority of the rest of my class.
Oh, you're not, huh?
Very few of us left.
You know, nothing. Well... When a man is not going to be a bridegroom, he lays himself open for a tactical problem. The major has one here for you. Are you ready for a little examination? On a little tactical problem. It's a question you may be asked tomorrow. You'll be great on tonight.
That's all right.
All right, here you are. You're a second lieutenant commanding a motorized patrol of 7 vehicles and 36 men. You're moving into hostile territory, and you're on a secondary road. Now, your purpose is to gain information of enemy activity. Now, you reach a dirt road crossing that crosses the road you're on. Mm-hmm. What should you do?
Well, it's, my mission is to find information about the enemy.
That's right.
If I came to this crossroads, I would investigate all avenues of approach that the enemy might come. In other words, I would go down that side road and search out for the enemy.
How far would you go?
Well, I would go in motorized infantry. I'd probably go down a mile.
You'd be very safe about it, wouldn't you? Yes. Well, I don't know. Let's find out what the major says. Major Coolidge, what is the decision and the grading on that?
I think a mile is a little too far to go, so I'll cut you 2/10 down to 2/8.
Oh, that's practically perfect, God's calling. Well, thank you very much. And for you, we have a portable radio that you can have a lot of fun with, and who's the buddy that you want to send a duplicate to?
I'd like to send that to Lieutenant Zeke Summers, who is now in Australia, class of 1940, and so far... class of 1940, and so far he's been accredited with sinking 2 Japanese cruisers.
All that a boy. Thank you very much. Okay, Gary, come on in.
We've only got just about a minute, and here's another very strapping young cadet, Robert Fritz, from Long Island and in the Coast Artillery. We're only going to have time for about 1 or 2 questions. What course of studies do you have to follow while you're here at West Point?
Well, sir, here's a brief outline. 2 years of pure mathematics, 2 years of applied mathematics, electricity, chemistry, aerodynamics, physics, hydraulics, military history.
Wait a minute. Morgan. I'm getting weak already. You mean to say that you have to take all of that within the course prescribed here at West Point?
Well, that's just the ground plan, sir.
Holy cow. Only the ground plan. Do you have to cram for exams?
Not at all, sir. It's not necessary, and neither is it possible.
It isn't. Why?
Well, it's not possible, sir, because each day has its amount of work allotted to it, and if you lose out on that day, why, it can never be made up again.
It comes under that well-known heading, huh? Just too bad. I understand that every cadet here at West Point is an athlete. And while I was going through the gym over there a little while ago this afternoon, I saw a very swell motto on the wall there written by General MacArthur. Well, you remember what it was?
I certainly do, sir.
Would you tell the audience what it was?
It goes like this. On the fields of friendly strife are sown the seeds that on other days, on other fields, will reap the fruits of victory.
I think that's very swell, and thank you for remembering that and giving it to our great radio audience. And to you and to some friend that you would like to give a gift, Romo Seltzer has a very lovely gift for you. It's a portable electric record player. Look at it. Isn't that a beauty?
Wow, very good.
And to whom would you like to give a duplicate just like that?
My brother Bill, Captain Fritz, of the Coast Artillery Corps.
And what year was he?
1933, sir.
Well, congratulations to you and to him, too, and thank you very much.
Next week, Box Pop will bring you a big naval aviation broadcast, and Park's guest partner will be that outstanding personality, Walter O'Keefe. Tonight's program from West Point does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product by the War Department. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.